Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My oh my, I'm Eric Jensen. I feel like I haven't done this in about a month. It's been a while, Trey, since you and I have talked over this podcast medium. We talk fairly regularly outside of the podcast medium, but here we are back on the podcast. You did an excellent show last week with Joel Rextow of The Athletic. That was impressive, Trey. Where are those guests when I'm around? I'm just giving you crap, but what a tremendous episode that was. I did not get a chance to listen. Hand up. I thought I might on my flight. I went on a short little fall break trip last week, and the week before was busy with stuff, so didn't really do much of a podcast, but we're back now, and I just wanted to say we're back. So how are you, Trey?
Doing all right. Finally had a break in classes for the first time since fall break, which it's like, what, 2-3 weeks ago, but it feels like 2 months. So I'm feeling good. I'm just enjoying my time off and trying to do whatever I can in my free time. So
yeah, I would say I'm busy, very busy. I do, I have to keep watching myself these days, Trey, because I do things that I don't really enjoy most of the time, and I need to do more things I enjoy more often. It's the things that I don't enjoy that are taking away from that time, but I just need to learn to be more thankful. I want to tell you, Trey, I haven't watched a single event of sports outside of Monday Night Football and now some NBA on in the background for about 2.5 weeks. It has been a wild time to give up sports, but I did for a little bit, and I'm slowly but surely coming back now. I want to thank very briefly our listeners for bearing with us. This year is obviously not as regimented as past years have been. I think most people can tell this has been a trying semester for old Eric and for Trey as well. And we're just doing this as we have time. And I'm happy that I'm chatting with you this week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You hit it right on the, right on the nail on the head. Real busy. Life sucks. Yes, you have so many responsibilities and so many things that you have to do, but you don't want to do. Because of that, podcast time has been sparse at times, but we have gotten together to do these things. It's been fun for the most part. Actually, not for the most part, all the time. It's fun all the time. So, but yeah.
But that's good. Hoping to do one next week, but work gets hectic next week because Utah State basketball is going to be playing. So I'm potentially working just like a 40-hour week at a part-time job, which is always fun. So that feels like what next week is going to be. So no promises on the podcast, but I feel like, things are going, Trey, but I need to get my energy up, I feel like. I got my vodka lemonade for this one episode just because I thought I went on vacation. The Midwest is a funny place. All they do there is watch football and drink, which is not healthy. And I don't think I would really thrive there. But I'm back now. And, it was fun. You know me, I'm not your big go out party guy, but Eric had a nice little go out and party weekend. It was a lot, but I actually kind of enjoyed it after trying it, but it was a lot. I had to take moments of rest. I don't really want to get to the football yet, though. I just want to know what's up with Trey. What's been filling with free time recently?
Well, going back to what you said, saying the Midwest is all about football and alcohol, she don't want to indulge in that. Don't come to the Deep South, then. That's all they do. pretty unhealthy levels too, probably more than the Midwest, if you know, if you actually believe that. So don't come to the South. It's a horrible place. what's been filling up my free time recently? Class. I'm sick of school, man.
You said that you were on a break. What are you doing over your break is, I guess, what I'm asking.
My break started today. I have 2 days off, today and tomorrow, because of some inauguration from the school's dipcrat president down here at Belmont. But 2 days off today that I had off, and then tomorrow on Wednesday. But aside from that, I've been stuck in assignments, projects, papers, classes, all that mess, and I hate it all. So I hate it all. But I guess I could find some sort of fulfillment. Would I realize that at the end of this journey, maybe I'll have some sort of end goal? I don't know. Remains to be seen. I'm pretty lackluster about anything I do in my life. So, but you know, aside from this obvious school stuff, it's been watching a lot of TV, or not TV, but shows on my laptop whenever it doesn't act like a complete piece of crap. But yeah, I've actually been enjoying the weather recently too. I've been finding solitude, just literally going outside every day, sitting on my front porch, just chilling, because I have to get away from my laptop and all that mess that gunks up my brain and my mind every single day. So yeah, just mostly simple stuff. But the simple stuff can sometimes give me a decent amount of time away from what I have to do in my daily life. So it is what it is.
Sitting on the porch, what's like the cool, relaxing, like you go outside to sit on the porch? What's the like cool, relaxing beverage of choice?
Me? I usually just take some water with me out there.
Oh. No lemonade? No sweet tea?
I don't drink sweet tea, man. I don't drink a lot of lemonade either. It's usually water for me, actually.
Orange juice?
Sometimes. When we actually do get it. But yeah, sometimes. Sometimes.
You're much healthier than I am, Trey. I would say the substance I drink the least is water.
Yeah, that's got to change, man.
Yeah, likely. I think I have this take that water's gross. Lots of people look at me like I'm crazy with that, but I think water is disgusting.
Yeah, you're weird.
Yeah, I am a weird guy. That is most certainly a fact. So today episode is going to be about catching up, because Trey, you have watched football over the past 2 weeks. Maybe not all the football, but enough football to generally know the answers to probably some questions that I'm feeling like asking, and we're gonna ask those questions and go through it. But my question for you was, I'm always curious about your non-football sports takes. What's been cooking non-football wise that you've been enjoying sports wise recently?
I actually recently enjoyed watching the Astros sink and burn. But actually more so, I've enjoyed seeing the Braves win the World Series, which they did last night. I have a couple friends who are Braves fans, maybe about 4 or 5, and they've been suffering over the Braves and their playoff mishaps over the past couple years. They finally got rewarded with a World Series win, and they did it with a team that wasn't even supposed to make dang near even make the playoffs, not even, let alone win a division after the injuries that they had, all the inconsistency they had earlier on the season before the trade deadline, before the All-Star break. So I'm happy for those Braves fans that got to watch the team win the World Series since, what, 1995? So real happy for them. Aside from that, it's been I will say this. Duke, I'm a Duke basketball fan. Love Duke basketball. they got off their scrimmage season. I believe it was this past weekend. They played Winston-Salem State. Paolo Banchero, if you're an NBA fan, or, you know, NBA fan, basketball fan in general, look out for Paolo Banchero, man. He's going to be really, real nice. And I was actually really enjoying watching Theo Johns, a transfer from Marquette. Real nice passing big man. I love watching him play as well. So that's all it is really with Duke football. Tennessee football, watch them get their brakes beaten off by Bama. Stay competitive for 3.5 quarters, but they just don't have a lot of depth. They caught up to them. Defense was gas. Offensive line's hurt. Everybody's hurt. So, but they had the bye week. They play Kentucky this weekend in Lexington, which I'm expecting them to win there because I don't think Kentucky's all that good, and I think Tennessee's good. So, we'll see about that. Last thing, though, Barcelona finally got rid of the bane of my existence.
I was going to say.
Managing their club. Ronald Koeman is finally gone.
Be very happy.
I don't want to crap too much on him because he's a club legend. Dude literally has scored so many goals as a freaking center back for the club, man. He was there doing some of the club's greatest moments back in what? I think it was the 80s or so. I think off the top of my head, but he was horrible. Absolutely gosh awful as a manager, man. Gosh awful. Played some of his favorites with different players in the squad. It just pissed me off so many times. Every single time I kept watching him. So, we have Xavi hopefully coming in, another Barca legend who's actually looks like a decent, coach. Xavi should be coming in to manage the squad after the international break that's going on for the next 2 weeks after Saturday's game Barca has in Celta Vigo. So, I'm excited for that. But yeah, it's been a lot of off and on sports watching for me with different sports, different teams, and different levels of profession. So. It's been low-key relaxing, and I'm kind of looking forward to more, including Barcelona, because of the Xavi appointment and everything.
Yeah, I knew you'd be happy about that. I'm glad that things are going better soccer-wise. Hopefully they can rebuild, start heading in a positive direction, because this season's just lost for Barcelona.
It's lost. I mean, I don't expect them to win La Liga. I definitely don't expect them to win the Champions League, but I want them to at least get top four so they can qualify for Champions League next year and at least qualify for the knockout stages in the Champions League, just to help with the revenue side of things, because the financial situation is so poor for the club, right? Any sort of opportunity to get money that doesn't kill them in the future, I'm all for it right now. So just hoping for that at least.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite part about soccer is like you can get better if you win because with winning comes like a lot more money. It's like if the Super Bowl champion every year got like $100 million cap increase, like that's what soccer is basically. So I'm excited about that. I have been loosely paying attention to Champions League this week. My Bayern boys did some good stuff, and so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, real I'm real thankful for them for whooping the crap out of Benfica 2 straight times. So I'm real happy for them, man. Actually grateful for them.
Well, you're welcome, Trey. As I mow on some Swedish fish, it's time to get to the NFL.
Yep.
Week 9, almost the halfway point. In fact, the halfway point after this week. What Eric has missed? A series of questions for football watcher Trey Watkins. I'm not going to go in order here. I'm going to switch things off. So let's just say the time period that we're talking about, Trey, is basically from like October 1st to now. So the past month.
Okay.
Which team has come back to earth the most after that first month of the season?
Which team has come back to earth? I'll have to know to look back because I haven't been paying a whole bunch of attention to everybody's, performance record wise. Which team has come back to earth? I'll say maybe the Los Angeles Chargers, man. Maybe Los Angeles Chargers. And it sucks to say that because they had such a hot start to the season, but during the month of October, they had two really weird losses. The latest one was the most disappointing. They had a real bad loss to the New England Patriots, who they have no business losing to. They're more talented than the Patriots. It just didn't make sense for them to lose at home. You know, this is a home game for them too, so they have no business losing to the Patriots at home. So I think that's a team that's probably coming back down to earth, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting answer. From what I've heard, that Patriots win was like classic Patriots, though. When people say this is a vintage Patriots win, that's what it was. The defense played really well. And I mean, looking at the Patriots over the past month, Trey, I find them to be impressive. Mm. I think that they are likely a wild card team. I really do. They have a lot of pieces on defense. J.C. Jackson is making himself a ton of money this year in the secondary. And Matthew Judon has been everything they paid for, basically. And they've kind of started to get it figured out on offense, where they're just kind of running the ball a ton and letting Mac Jones dink and dunk when he needs to. But I think Mac Jones has progressed a little bit as well. I mean, if you look at what they've done over the past 4 weeks, their least impressive performance was against the Texans, where they almost lost. Then they played the Cowboys extremely tight, in what was really one of the games of the year, I thought. That was an extremely fun game to watch, but they played the Cowboys super tight. That game went to OT. They then went and gave the Jets probably the lowest point in franchise history over the past 3 years, which is hard to do, by blowing them out 54-13. And then they went to Los Angeles and they took care of business in kind of a defensive showdown with the Chargers. I just think that they're a team that now comes up and plays the Panthers, a Browns team who's really struggling, and they have the Falcons. They could have a winning record and be at 7 wins pretty quick here.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'm still not all that high on their offense, though, honestly. I like their run game, though. Like the run game. I think that's one of the things Josh McDaniels has found a way, to really be consistent at, is really trying to put the offense in a good position on the football. But the whole passing game with Mac Jones bores me to death, man. I know people say it's effective. He doesn't really need to throw the ball down the field a lot. He has a lot of the underneath stuff open, but gosh, it bores the living hell out of me, dude. It bores the living hell out of me, man. Maybe that's just me being a casual, just not opening myself up to the enjoyment of efficiency, whatever, but I don't care. It just bores me. So, granted that they don't really have the weapons to, you know, get the ball down the field. I think they're starting, well, Nelson Aguilar's one, but that's probably the only guy. So, but it still just bores the mess out of me, their offense, that matter. So.
Yeah, I know. They are boring, but boring can win, and they're winning with boring right now.
Yep.
But the Chargers, you think the team that's come back the most this week? Interesting. All right.
Yeah, I think they'll end up finding their stride sooner or later, because they're still a young team, and this is, you know, they weren't even supposed to, you know, really be in the conversation for what, the division this year, because everybody was so high on Kansas City. And everything, you know, all that. So, but I think they'll end up getting their shot. It's just, I think, you know, October was a little bit of a real world moment.
Yeah, I think that October was tough for the Chargers, but I think ultimately they can get through. And especially with the Chiefs not looking great right now, I feel like that they can win the division if they need to.
Yeah, they can.
Because they've already got the head-to-head with the Chiefs. But that whole division looks like a mess right now. And the Raiders, who I think we'll get to maybe a little bit later, have looked really good over the past few weeks.
Despite all the crap that's been going on around them.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how that division plays out. All right, let's get to the Titans. Tell me, how should I view the Titans right now? Better question is, let me tell you how I view the Titans, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong. I view the Titans as a team that Sunday just won their division because now they've got the games on the Colts, and the Colts aren't catching up with them. I really don't see that happening. I feel like Tennessee basically just won their division last Sunday. They took care of business in a really impressive game where they hung in there and got through it with an overtime win. I think the Derrick Henry injury will obviously hurt them, but I don't think it's going to be as huge of a deal as people think. I think that they can still be an effective offense with Ryan Tannehill. They may just lose a bit of explosiveness with Derrick Henry out. And I think the defense has steadily gotten to average over the past 3 weeks. I think that the defense, where it was the worst in the league early on, is now playing like an average NFL unit. And if they can have an average offense, defense and a decent offense with already a 3-game lead on the Colts, I think that they can easily be a playoff team. And then you never know what happens in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think you're dead on about that, especially with the whole Derrick Henry injury situation. There's no question about it that losing Derrick Henry is a really big deal because he was literally carrying the load offensively in terms of the running game, carries, touches, a lot of things. He was carrying the load for them. But when you lose that, I think you'll probably get the Titans more room to start finding new ways to at least move the ball up and down the field. I'm not talking about a complete schematic switch where they start throwing the ball 60 times a game. I'm talking about the point where Ty Downing can, find a way to get his offense, get his playmakers, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, more opportunities to get the ball in their hands. Because now with the running back situation where it is now, it's that they have Adrian Peterson, they have Deontay Foreman, who they had in limited snaps last year. They have Jeremy McNichol, who's played an important third down role for the team. And they also have, I forgot his first name. He played kick returner for the Titans Sunday because of injuries. I think his last name is Hilliard. So Mike Vrabel's even said he could start contributing as well. So those are four options, not four. Four. Jeez, can't count today. Those are four options right there. In all likelihood, three of those options are probably going to see at least respectable snaps. Jeremy McNichols, I know for one, he's going to have a third down role, maybe a passing situation role on second, third down, maybe. I know Adrian Peterson is going to get snaps. It depends on how he responds to the scheme and the practice and everything. And Deontay Foreman, who, like I said, got some snaps with the team last year and looked good in the limited opportunities that he received last year. He's going to get snaps there. So the running back situation is a little bit in flux, but there's some names there. And plus the Titans have a nice run blocking offensive line whenever the guys that they have can get in their groove. So, aside from that, the passing game, Ryan Tannehill, he has to step up and be a little bit more consistent, especially when he starts games, because he's had some poor starts to games this year. And I think I said this will be a good opportunity for Todd Downing to open some things up, maybe get the ball in A.J. Brown and Julio Jones' hands. Sunday was the third time A.J. Brown has only had 10 targets. Sunday was the, one of three games in his career that A.J. Brown has had, 10 targets in his career in the game, which is absurd when you think about it. But when you look at the numbers, it's actually, proven quite true. So at least find some time to get the ball in A.J. Brown's hands and let him do what he does best, which is go crazy in the open field whenever he gets the ball in the open field. And maybe the same for Julio Jones. Maybe start taking some more shots down the field if you can get the running game without Derrick Henry going. So there's just some things that Todd Downing can do offensively that, you know, he didn't really do the first, 8 weeks of the season, to the point where he can explore some things, open some things, open things a little bit and see what he has, with the guys at his disposal. So it'll be interesting to see how the offense looks, without Derrick Henry, being the super, hero that he is.
Yeah. Moving on now from the Titans, I want to play a matching game with you.
Okay.
I'm going to give you three teams and you're going to match. It's like an elementary school test.
Yeah.
So you'll have the three teams and you match the team with these three adjectives: good, bad, mystery. The three teams are, if you want to jot this down on a piece of paper in text or something, or I might just text it to you just so you know who all three are.
Okay.
The three teams are as follows: Patriots, Chiefs, Panthers.
Okay, that's actually relatively easy. I'll start with the mystery. I think actually this is a little bit more difficult than I thought. Okay, I'll start with good, in fact. I'll start with good. I think the Patriots are the only good, and you can't see my hypothetical, sarcastic finger movements, but that I think the Patriots are the only good team on this list. They I think they know what they are. The defense is starting to round this shape. The offense knows what they are, a good running team that, has a good quick passing game to complement off of it. And some occasional deep shots, but, they don't run with those a little bit too much if they don't have too much of the personnel to do so. The bad team, I think I'll go with the Panthers. I'll go with the Panthers as the bad team simply because it's that the Panthers' offense simply falls apart when they don't have Christian McCaffrey. It's insane how much they fall off. You saw it against the Vikings, how the offense fell off. It's just a mess when they don't have Christian McCaffrey. And it sucks for them because McCaffrey's always hurt. He's always on IR. You really just can't find a way to stay healthy. And it's a shame because when he's healthy, he's one of the more dynamic, exciting backs to watch in football. He just simply can't stay healthy. But when he's healthy, the offense looks decent. Sam Darnold actually looks decent. I think that's all you can really say about the Panthers. The defense has actually fallen off a little bit from their pace in the opening weeks of the season, but they have the personnel to rebound, and it just got Stephon Gilmore. He had a pick on Sunday. So I think they're the team that's in the bad sort of category at this point. The mystery for me is probably the Chiefs, because the Chiefs are talented. They have Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes. We know the deal with the Chiefs. But offensively, they're just so inconsistent with turnovers, really bad mistakes. And, it showed on Monday night, Patrick Mahomes had another interception that came off a tip ball. The offense still just didn't look right. And the defense had some low moments against the Giants team that really hasn't, moved the football consistently throughout the year. So, that defense, I don't think that defense is going to become any better because the corner situation just looks weird.
So
they have no pass rush. Frank Clark is bad. The linebackers are bad. Daniel Sorensen is especially bad. But I think what will be the saving grace for them, and I still think this will happen, I still think this Chiefs offense will find a way, start staying on script, start staying on time, and start being more consistent with the things that got them there, which they talked about taking the easy play, not trying to go for the big shot, not trying to play too much backyard style football. And I think Andy Reid is probably the best coach for them to do that. So That's I think the Chiefs are probably the mystery for me at this point. But I honestly, the Chiefs and the Panthers, you could flip flop them there, because the both those teams just have so many weird questions about them at this point.
So I'm going to argue on the defense. I think it's flipped now. I think now the offense is the problem for them, because if you look at what the defense has done over the past 3 weeks, after the first half against Washington, they shut them out.
Well, Washington's not good.
Right, but then they went to the Titans, and if Patrick Mahomes doesn't have 3+ turnovers and the offense doesn't win, they hold the Titans to 27 points. Now, if they hold the Titans to 27 points and the Chiefs offense plays like it was playing to start the season, where they're at like 30+ points a week, they win that game. And the and the defense is just good enough. And then they go and they play good defense against a Giants team that has shown it can be good. And a Giants team that was healthy Monday night with Kadarius Toney and Sterling Shepard back in the lineup. I think the defense is not – I'm not saying the defense is good. I'm not saying that, Trey. I'm just saying they're league average at this point. Over the past 3 weeks, they've been league average, and the offense has been the problem. And the fact that they don't know how to dink and dunk their way down the field. They get started with it, but then they get to the red zone and something doesn't click and they can't punch it in, and – Patrick Mahomes has a weird turnover and all this stuff. I'm worried about the Chiefs. I haven't been on here a lot over the past 2 weeks, so I haven't been able to say this, but now that I have more evidence, I'm here to say, if the Chiefs don't win 2 of 3 of their next games against the Packers, who won't have Aaron Rodgers, the Raiders, and the Cowboys, if they don't win two of three of those games, they will not be a playoff team. Plain and simple. They will not be a playoff team. They don't look like a playoff team right now. They look like a team that's going to finish 8-9.
I wouldn't argue with you there. Going back to that Titans nugget that you said, I think that you know, that game in the second half was really a victim of the Titans. Playing a little bit conservatively in the second half, trying to preserve some bodies and keep the lead and play good defense. But I think I understand where you're coming from at that point. I think I would tend to agree with you there, saying that the offense is starting to become a little bit more of a problem. Despite the fact of all the good things that they said, trying to get back to the basics and the fundamentals, trying to take the easy play and just take what's, you know, given to them so they can stay on schedule offensively, but they just haven't been able to start consistently doing so, which, you know, we're in week 9, and usually if this was an offense that was maybe somewhat unreliable in the past, I would tend to agree saying it's time to worry about the offense and whatnot, but this is still Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, you know, Tyreek Hill, Andy Reid, until, you know, I might be clinging on a little bit too much to them and what they've done in the past at this point when I say this, but I still have a lot of, you know, maybe some trust and maybe some faith that they'll actually get their act together moving forward. I think some of their, you know, their issues can be solved. They find some sort of secondary option. Some other guy emerges as a second option, you know, in the receiver room. You know, that was supposed to be Josh Gordon, but he hasn't really been the guy. It's been more of Mecole Hardman. It's been more of DeMarcus Robinson. So it's just a weird case for the Chiefs, you know, even still with that, I still think they can find some sort of groove and sneak their way into the playoffs. Going back to what you said about they don't win two of their next three, I think they win against the Packers because, you know, I'm not really all that high on Jordan Love anyway. Maybe that changes, you know, by the way he plays on Sunday. But I'm just not all that high on Jordan Love whatsoever. The Raiders, I think out of, you know, the Raiders and Cowboys, I think, honestly, the Raiders is the best chance for them to get that second win out of three during that three-game stretch because the Cowboys should have a Dak Prescott back, you know, after the calf injury that he suffered that caused him to miss Sunday night's game against Minnesota. I don't know. Do you think they get two wins out of those three or out of that three-game stretch? Because I don't know. It's I think they win Sunday.
No, it's a coin. It's a coin flip on the Raiders.
Yeah, at this point.
Good point to bring up here. Obviously, tragic trash crash.
Yeah, sheesh, man.
Involving Henry Ruggs. Yeah, not great. It's really easy not to have a DUI, especially if you're a pro athlete who's making a lot of money. Yep. Uber is not that expensive. Sucks for the victim really badly, obviously, and their family. So, but Henry Ruggs, that's the end of his NFL career because he will likely face jail time now for manslaughter. And yeah, that's the end of that. So in a really just an unfortunate kind of ending for Henry Ruggs, who was becoming more of a part of the Raiders offense football wise. I don't think this will have much of an effect because they were using, you know, Hunter Renfrow and Bryan Edwards a little bit more even. Mm-hmm. And they're getting contribution from guys that are there for depth for them with Derek Carr right now, but just a really sad and gruesome situation going on in Las Vegas right now. So that sucks. But that's where the Raiders are at right now. And I think it's a toss up, but I'd take the Raiders there just because the defense is playing so good right now.
Yep. I agree with you there.
Okay. My next question for you is as follows.
Okay.
Will the Von Miller trade, the biggest trade of the trade deadline, of course, and included Von Miller from my Denver Broncos to the Los Angeles Rams for a second and third pick, really quickly, let me just tell you what I think about that. I'm sad. Okay. I'm sad that Von Miller is gone. Yes. I think it's interesting that they retained most of the salary to get a higher round draft pick. Kind of a Brock Osweiler type deal there. I think that the Broncos have no direction right now. I think George Payton thinks he's going to be able to swing for like Aaron Rodgers, but I think that they have no tangible direction right now. That this offseason is going to look like probably sticking with Teddy, keeping the offensive pieces, trying to get the offensive pieces signed in long term, and then using those draft picks to go after probably a lackluster quarterback or better defensive pieces to kind of rebuild the defense a little bit, because it needs rebuilding, to be quite frank. But it all starts with the quarterback. So who knows? Maybe they do go hard after Rodgers. I kind of doubt that'll happen. And I bet they'll end up drafting Carson Strong or something. I don't know. That seems like a really bad time. But excuse me. That seems to be what's ahead for the Broncos. But my question for you, Trey, is will the Von Miller trade make a big difference for the Rams? Is this the kind of move that you think really makes the Rams better?
You know, obviously it makes them better, you know, and it makes their defensive front scary because their defensive front was creating tons of freaking havoc through the first 8 weeks, you know, along with just Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, and Terrell Lewis whenever he, you know, contributed as a pass rusher. But when you add Von Miller, you know, you add Von Miller on the outside, Aaron Donald on the inside, you have Leonard Floyd on the other side. You know, they got some contributions from some of their other depth guys. I mean, that makes that defensive front terrifying, literally terrifying. Maybe even terrifying to the point where you can compare it to the Washington football defensive line last year. Because that's just how scary, you know, all the talent, all the veteran pedigree, all the skill that still exists in that defensive line. That's just how terrifying it is. But, you know, I think it'll help. You know, obviously, I think it'll help them a ton. What I am interested in is seeing how that, you know, if it'll help that secondary a little bit more, because, you know, maybe aside from Jalen Ramsey, the corner spot hasn't, you know, the second corner spot hasn't really been all that consistent. So then they might need some help there, you know, in terms of pass rushing, because it's going to be hard to find a suitable extra body that can play that second corner spot at this point. But I think the move helps them out tremendously. I think it'll really help them against, you know, the likes of Tampa Bay, who relies on a passing game, you know, drop their passing game, and relies on a offense that gives the quarterback a lot of time so they can take shots down the field. So it'll be real interesting to see what they do with that front. I mean, I'm anticipating big things, but, you know, it all remains to be seen what the true impact will be. So.
I am muted. That was terrible by me. I had myself muted there. But no, Trey, I think that this move helps them. And frankly, I'd already been banging the Matthew Stafford drum. I feel like it makes sense that I just cheer for the Rams now and just latch myself
stop
onto
your misery.
And yeah, just latch. Latch myself onto that bandwagon. And I like Sean McVay. I like their weapons. And they had an absolute awesome game on Sunday against the Texans team that has stopped trying. So that was fun to watch. I did catch some of that in a sports bar in Chicago. Okay. Only a few more questions here, and then we can get out of here. Here's a question that I don't really know. I was going to ask you this question about who's the QB that makes you say, wow, that was awesome over the past month, but I have a better question. I feel like this year, more than most, the MVP race is like a total mystery. I have no idea who people are even considering for the MVP. I wanted to ask you, who are the MVP candidates right now? Give me three of them.
Man. I'll put Matthew Stafford as one because he's been everything and more what the Rams expected he'd be when they traded for him and paired him up with Sean McVay. I think Sean McVay has been real happy with what he's done as well. Gosh. It's so tough because, like you said, the MVP race is completely, I mean, completely wide open this year. Are you asking for any sort of realism here or, you know?
No, I'm asking for just pure opinion.
Okay. Well, I think two, and I just thought of another one. I think two of the MVP candidates right now, honestly, are Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady. Because Tom Brady is putting up ridiculous, and I mean ridiculous numbers when yeah. He should be retired and golfing and playing with his kids and spending time with his family. It's insane. I can go on and on about Tom Brady and what, you know, what he's doing right now is absolutely ridiculous. But Stafford, Tom Brady, I know there was some steam building for Derrick Henry to be one before he got hurt. But now that he's here, he has virtually no shot at winning the MVP. So I think the third spot probably right now would either be reserved for Aaron Rodgers or Kyler Murray, just because the MVP award, you know, is typically the best quarterback on the best regular season team. That's really what it is. You know, it was Matt Ryan when he took the Falcons to the Super Bowl. Last year was Aaron Rodgers when they had the number one seed in the NFC, and he looked crazy. So, if you know, me being the guy that I am, the wired sort of MVP candidate, I would put Myles Garrett in there because he's been absolutely insane this year. But, you know, the media and the voters never, ever, and will never, ever vote for a defensive player for MVP unless he puts up 35 sacks, 60 tackles for loss, and throws away quadruple teams like he's some sort of giant. So, but I think the realistic candidates for me are Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, and one of either Aaron Rodgers or Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I think that an outside guy to keep an eye on here, and this may sound crazy to you, Trey. I know you don't like him as much as I seem to. I think it's because you don't get a chance to watch him as much, but I think Derek Carr has to be considered.
Yes, that's another one. That's another one.
He's playing the best football of his entire career.
Yes.
And is doing it on a week-to-week basis. I think that Derek Carr is definitely in the mix to be an MVP candidate, I'd say. Because, you know, Matthew Stafford, what he's doing is cute. It's a bunch of open throws and dinks and dunks back and forth around the field in a Sean McVay offense. But Derek Carr is hitting these awesome deep shots every week and, like, throwing into unreally, like, super tight windows.
Yeah.
I think that Carr, to me, would be my outside of the box MVP. But if we're being honest with ourselves, my vote, if I have one, would go to Tom Brady. I just think what he's done this year has been just so awesome. He is also playing the best football of his career and has been, I would argue, the best quarterback in the league throughout most of the entire year with intermittent spots of Dak Prescott. I know you said he might not get consideration because he missed one game, but I feel like he could still be considered if he comes back and plays well, just because he's a Cowboys quarterback.
Yeah, I know 100%. It's just a matter of, you know, can he stand above the others that's in the MVP race, and can he win one or two more signature games? Because looking at the Cowboys schedule, if I can pull it up and my phone actually works with me. Hold on. Give me a second. Because I think on the Cowboys schedule, there's probably one or two, maybe even three more chances for them to get a signature win. And if Dak plays well, you know, potentially all of them, he's all, you know, for sure back in the MVP race. Looking on their schedules, they still have the Chiefs, which, you know, although the Chiefs are good, it's always a good chance to play a good game against the Chiefs and have, you know, a performance that you can put on your MVP resume. They have the Raiders. They have the Cardinals at the end of the year. So Chiefs, Raiders, Cardinals, I think those are three games that Dak can really, you know, play really, really well in, look really good in, and, you know, start getting some of those voters some decisions to make when it comes to MVP, especially that Cardinals game. The Cardinals, you know, don't let that Packers loss trip them up, make them start going on some sort of skid. But, yeah, I think those three games, if Dak can play really well in those, then I think he gives himself a really good shot at being in the thick of the MVP race.
Yeah, I think that you're totally right. I think if Josh Allen had started a little faster, he might be in there. But if he keeps putting up the numbers he's put up over the past month, I think he'll jump into it. But he just started a little bit too slow, I think, to be really considered for it right now.
Yep.
Okay, let's get out of here. Before we do, let's just, you and me, make some brief game picks. I'll throw out some games. We can just kind of pick them here. Vikings, Ravens. I think the Vikings have cooled way off from being pretty exciting to being meh again.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how the Ravens bounce back for coming off that embarrassing loss to the Bengals, and then they had a bye week. So I'm interested to see how the Ravens look coming off the bye. So I'll take the Ravens there. Raiders Giants. I think this one's interesting as well, but we talked about the Raiders. I think I'll take the Raiders here.
Yeah, I think we'll both take the Raiders here as well. Yeah.
Browns Bengals. I would say that the Browns are perhaps one of the most disappointing teams in the NFL. Yeah. I don't know if you agree with that, Trey, but like, Their offense is week to week. Their defense sometimes gives up points. And you look at it here, we thought a lot of people said that this team was going to be an AFC contender this year, and they're 4-4 at the halfway point of the season.
Yep.
I just don't know about them. There's a lot of season left, and this will be a big test against the Bengals. But I think the Bengals are going to have something to prove after a tough loss to the Jets. I like the Bengals here, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I like the Bengals as well. And I really agree with your point that they've been one of the more disappointing teams along with the Miami Dolphins because their roster is Super Bowl capable. Like, that's how talented, you know, they are, you know, from roster spots 1 to 53. It's just loads of talent everywhere. But, you know, injuries have killed them, inconsistency at important parts, quarterback, corner. You know, like I said, injuries, especially at running back, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, they've dealt with injuries as well. But even when they've been healthy, they've run into some inconsistencies at times. And, you know, it's just killed them at times. And, you know, the Bengals, like you said, they're coming off that embarrassing loss to the Jets. They let Mike White throw all over them, literally killed them so bad that he has his jersey he gave you the form at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. So that definitely have a, you know, a chip on their shoulder. And the fact that the Browns are dealing with all this drama recently with Odell Beckham Jr. and everything, you know, starting with him, you know, his dad posting that video on Instagram, the compilation of Baker not throwing Odell the ball when he's wide open. Baker coming off the worst statistical game of his career, I believe on Sunday, 1 catch, 6 yards. It's been embarrassing. So I have the Bengals as well. And if the Browns get blown out, you know, the Browns get blown out. And I don't know if this game is at home or on the road, but if the Browns get blown out at home, there's going to be a lot, and I mean a lot of questions for the Browns moving forward. Not, you know, just at the point of them being contenders this year, but maybe their future moving forward. Because, I mean, you know, excuse me if I'm wrong, but I think the Browns have some sort of, you know, contract things to look at moving forward at important spots. I might be wrong, but they just have, you know, they get beaten handedly on Sunday. It might be some time for them to look in the mirror and see what they really are this year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting indeed. Cardinals at 49ers, the way Kyle Shanahan is talking, I feel like the permanent Jimmy G benching is coming soon. Like, once Jimmy G has his next bad game, actually. Feel like the Cardinals could be that. I'm interested to see how they bounce back. This was a team that when adversity hit them last year, they really fell apart. I want to see if they can bounce back. I think this is a total toss-up game.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, Kyler Murray had that ankle injury he suffered against the Packers last week on Thursday night. Usually it's probably a 1 to 2 week injury, so we don't know if he's even going to play on Sunday. But if he does play, he might be severely hampered, you know, in terms of him trying to make plays out of the pocket and make plays with his legs. And that could be open season for, you know, 49ers defensive front that still has some talent, you know, even with injuries, some, you know, somewhat ravaging them with Javon Kinlaw out for the year, which is unfortunate, honestly. But it'll be real interesting. You said something interesting about the permanent Jimmy G benching, which I've sort of been, you know, parading for, you know, ever since that Super Bowl loss. When I saw him miss that throw to Emmanuel Sanders, I said, he's just not that guy. He's just not that guy. So we'll see what it happens with the 49ers, honestly. That'll be interesting. You know, maybe they make that benching if they see the season just going off the rails and they just say, you know what, it's time to cut our losses. See what Trey Lance can do, you know, with a full sort of slate of games, somewhat full slate of games, and just prepare to move him from Jimmy G. So,
indeed, Jordan Love's regular season debut against the Chiefs. This game's gonna be fascinating, I think. Jordan Love looked good in the preseason, had some wild throws in that blowout in week one. I think this one could be really interesting to watch, Trey. I don't know about you. I think the Chiefs are probably going to struggle on offense, but I think the Packers have a real shot of winning this, especially if Devontae Adams gets back.
Yeah, 100%. I think with, you know, I think what gives the Chiefs a glimmer of hope of winning this game is the fact that Jordan Love is starting and you don't know really what he is. Because if Aaron Rodgers was starting, I think the Chiefs, I think the Packers win that game handily. And I wholeheartedly believe that. But since, you know, Aaron Rodgers is out, you don't know what you got with Jordan Love. You have Devontae Adams back. That's a big plus. But the Packers can really run the football. The Chiefs can't really stop the run. They can't really stop the pass either. So we'll see what they really have, the Packers, that is, you know, with Jordan Love on Sunday. But if they can get anything marginally good, then I think the Packers win, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. And then finally, Titans, Rams, the Sunday night football matchup. I'm going to take the Rams here, but I think this game is going to be insanely close.
Yeah, I'll take the Rams also, but I'll agree with you on the tone that I think this game will be close. Titans offense isn't dead with Derrick Henry gone. Certainly, Derrick Henry has a lot of touches and a lot of rushing attempts within this offense, and he's a big part of what they want to do offensively, but they still have a good offensive line, you know, when it comes to ranking football. Pass protection, excuse me, is a different story. Still have A.J. Brown, who's been on a tear recently. They still have Julio Jones, who, when he's played, he's actually looked good. They still have Ryan Tannehill, who, when he gets in a rhythm early, can maintain that rhythm throughout the game. He's a really, really good quarterback and somewhat fun quarterback to watch. So, and they still have Adrian Peterson, who, you know, 36, but still has some juice in the tank. You know, they still have a foundation of a running game that can help them keep up, you know, whenever the Rams score. And the defenses look marginally good, even though I expect them to give up a good handful of points on Sunday anyways, though. So I think it'll be a close game as well, but I still think the Rams win. We'll just have to see, though, because this is shaping up to be a game where, you know, it could be a weird sort of roller coaster because, you know, I don't know. I might be just just reading into everything a little bit too much. But, I think it'll be a close game, but Rams win.
Yeah. You know, I think I'm with you on that one. All right, Trey. This has been fun. Thanks again for jumping on with me. Let's do plugs this time around. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Jensen Sport, at Eric 18 Utah. I don't tweet much anymore on purpose, but when I do, it's usually about football stuff. So you can check that out there and follow the End Zone Podcast on Twitter at End Zone Pod, where I will be tweeting this out shortly later tonight. Trey, what about you? Where can people find your stuff?
You could find me on Twitter at Trey Watkins 099, T-R-E for the Trey part, Watkins, W-A-T-K-I-N-S 099. Find me there on Twitter. My work for Broadway Sports Media. Still some work for Black Sports Online. You can find me on Facebook where I tend to post my work as well there. You know, Trejan Watkins, T-R-E-J-E-A-N Watkins. Find me there. You know, I don't post on Facebook at all. I've literally abandoned Facebook, you know, aside from posting my work, you know, for different sources and different readers. But yeah, you can find me there. Yeah, that's really all it is. So, yeah, that's me.
All right, Trey. Been a ton of fun per usual. I will see you maybe next week, maybe not. But I will see you next time. We will be back with more End Zone Pod later. Thank you all for listening. Enjoy the rest of your week.